free ball from CG43. They're in front.
This is flat out ridiculous.
From the beautiful left hand, in and out finish, the old fashioned way.
Newell gets to the basket with one to come. From there again.
NBL Pocket Podcast, Joseph Corr here, Andrew Kenyon over there, firing away a question straight away.
We are not mucking around, okay.
No, not mucking around at all. I contend that this season is without surprise. And what I mean by that is Melbourne are clearly number one, followed by, in some sort of combination, Sydney and Adelaide. Next tier down is your Southeast Melbourne and Perth, and then you've got maybe Illawarra, and then your New Zealand's and your Brisbane are bottom, and Cairns are bottom in some combination. Do you think I'm accurate in saying that this season is without drama and surprise?
Yeah, that's a good synopsis, particularly considering they've been saying how close the seasons are, and they have been close over the last few years. But I think this may be the year where that ceases to be the case. So, yeah, unsurprising indeed. I'm enjoying the season less so for the results, which seem somewhat known, and more so for the drama and intrigue about how teams and players are being managed, because the results seem to be taking care of themselves, don't they?
100%. I think it's one of the more bettable, if people out there like to bet on this, it's one of the more predictable seasons. And the team I left off there was Tasmania. I've just got a clear distinction of Melbourne and Tasmania for me are 1-2. Adelaide and Sydney are next down. Sydney took a bit of a jump up the power rankings after their win.
For sure.
Next down is Perth and Illawarra, maybe Southeast Melbourne. The only floating team of identity is Southeast Melbourne for me, because they could be better than Perth and Adelaide if they're just really good defensively and this new import works out well. And then Cairns, New Zealand and Brisbane are all the bottom three. And I think Brisbane are definitely the bottom dwellers.
Yes.
My second question, and then I'm going to fire to you and let you take the thing. Brisbane, is there any doubt in your mind that they are going to finish last this season?
None whatsoever.
Neither.
Garbage. I mean, they've been without. Terrible. They've had some injuries, but they're just pretty bad. Like, the best thing they're going to get out of this season is their young guys like Devers and what's the other bloke? They're going to get some run into those guys.
Yeah.
So probably help them.
Dukas? No. Is he there?
Well, yeah.
Dukas, the kid from the NBA, played Oklahoma.
Yeah, which you would never know. So you'd think that
guy made flashes, the NBA. But I was like, ooh. Yeah, isn't it crazy? And Alex Tui signed with Golden State the other day. I'm like,
Yeah.
Where would we rank him last season in the NBL? Like, maybe in the top 20, maybe in the top 30?
Hubie Brown, tremendous upside potential. Isn't that what we constantly go on about in the NBA?
Maybe it's the pay packet that works, but I just saw him and I thought, some pretty good guys running around other leagues that maybe could.
But no, Brisbane is definitely the worst. The only hope they've got is that Cairns continue to suck.
Why do Cairns suck? I know I said I'd only ask two questions, but why they on paper look like a middle team, maybe get a bit lucky, and they have sucked. They put up low tallies, inconsistent. What's the problem?
I reckon it's their depth. They got no bench. I mean, they've lost Wartenberg for a considerable amount of time. They don't have a great bench, and they're not using their most valuable asset.
Jack McVay?
Jack McVay, like, he's getting close to triple doubles. He's sort of statting up, but he's not the focal point. I mean, if you looked at that team, who would you say, if you just watched that team, who would you say was the guy that they are?
Yeah, sure.
Relying.
I would say that in timeouts, Adam Ford is like, that guy Andrews, I want him taking 95% of his shots. I feel like he has a lot of gravity around him when he's on the court. He's putting it up.
He thinks he's a good shooter, right?
he's had some good – I actually quite like his game, but maybe in the void of direction, he's just like, Rainmaker is going up and he just throws them. I don't know what to do there. Like, they shoot a lot of threes. They live and die by the sword, but they don't score a lot.
It sort of strikes me as that.
Wartenberg's a big loss, but not this big a loss. I'm surprised they're this bad, even without him.
Yeah, they're pretty bad. Andrew strikes me as an import that's come in and gone like, oh, yeah, I'm the import. Okay, I'm the American. Right, as an American, my job is to get 30 a game. You know, like, very much the kind of the old school import.
20, 30 years ago, I just want to quickly go back to Brisbane before you we launch into your question topic. The Bullets, to quote Dan Ewing here, Dan Ewing, friend of the show, I'd like to think. Could be an enemy of the show, not really sure. But friend of the show, we had a chat one time in the DMs and he just said, like, NBL teams, when these things happen, it's the death of a season. Number one is when a coach doesn't work out. Number two, and probably the most prevalent, is when you get injuries.
Yep.
And the third one is when you got to cut an import because you've just got so little. For the people new to the code and the league, as an NBL GM, you've really got very little at your disposal to make a move mid-season. You can't trade players. You can't do it. So, like, the things you can do to alter your roster if it doesn't go to plan are so few. And Brisbane just tick every box of where this thing's going to be a disaster. You've got your best player's body language is effing terrible. I've never seen worse body language on Adams.
When you say the best player, you're not talking about Casey Prather, are you? You're talking about
probably
Adams.
Probably their second best import is Adams, pardon me.
Yeah.
His body language is atrocious and he's your point guard. All the injuries they've got, as bad as it's been, they have had hideous injuries.
Yep.
Norton goes down, McDaniel goes down. They're two
players. And it's the guys who are probably the best at bringing the team together, you know, and like
– yeah, totally.
You know, sort of getting people around them and saying, all right, we got this, let's control things. Those two guys are probably right up there in that regard. And they lose them. So now it's Jalen Adams, you're right.
It's just terrible. And, I mean, the other thing is the import left, and there's been talk of homesick and hamstring. No. This guy saw this program and went, life's too short. My pro career is – this is not up to the standard and jettisoned for that reason. There's no injury. There's no – he's just think this sucks and I'm out of here. That's the rumor I've heard on the street, but – you had a topic, Kenyon.
Yeah, well, my topic I want to ask you about, it's a little game I like to play, Paul, a little game I like to call, Sack the Coaches.
Let's do it.
Joe, do we need a little theme music?
If I've got time,
I was going to do it for you right now.
Do it. That's it.
Sack the Coaches. There you go.
Oh, yeah, that could work. Yeah, nice.
Something here for you. So you're looking around, there's a lot of question marks over a lot of the coaches. Now, I feel like John really has been in the hot seat for about 3 years on this particular game of Sack the Coaches. To me now, I would put forward to you that he's actually one of the safest coaches in the league at this point.
Oh, why would you say that?
Because the Wildcats are winning, right? So as much as everybody still pans his rotations, they're getting wins. He's playing his son. Everybody seems to be loving that.
Should be starting him, but
should be starting him. But I don't think he's in any danger of being sacked. And also we know that Danny Mills never makes tough decisions like that.
Also, look at what the Wildcats have done this season. What they have shown is they're reining in the purse strings. You know, they're charging a lot for memberships. What was the other thing that they obviously let Cotton walk? That was probably over a money thing. He was outbidded by Adelaide and Brisbane, was the rumor I heard on the street. So they're just a little bit tied with the thing that he's on contract. If I believe, really, he's got a contract for next year as well, right?
I think so. Yeah,
I think so. So for that reason, I just think they're just looking. Not the best coach in the world, not the worst, but status quo. Keep the money in the till. Keep this ticking over. I think the sight of those membership prices, how exponentially greater they were than the others, showed that, oh, this is a franchise that's looking to recoup
interesting
or make some money.
I don't want to deviate from Sack the Coaches, but you're exactly right. Interesting watch. Okay, so Ignite Cup game tomorrow in Perth. Check the crowd. I reckon it's going to be super small. My intel tells me it's going to be small. I think
this is because it's not included in the membership, am I right?
There's separate tickets. And then they're still trying to sell it. And then what have they got to sell? There's no Bryce Cotton. Amazingly, right, if you get rid of your best player and the best player in the league, less people want to buy an expensive ticket to go watch the team.
I know. I it's sort of like spend money to make money. I was speaking to someone in Perth the other day who's like, without Cotton, Wildcats have lost relevance. And that's pretty obvious to say, but, you know.
Yeah. So anyway, sorry.
Who are they playing, pardon me?
They are playing in the Ignite Cup, as I buy for time. They are playing the Brisbane Bullets.
Oh, jeez.
All right, well, that's a win. Chalk it up. Would you pay a lot of money to go watch the Brisbane Bullets?
You'd have to pay me. If someone paid, I won't deny I'd do it for free, but I would I want to be jettisoned to the game. I want that covered, but yeah. I would not pay to watch that game live. I wouldn't bother myself with the job. Anyway, sorry.
Okay.
No, really safe. I actually don't think he's that bad a coach. He's fumbling. He's not the world's best, but he's not the world's worst. Those teams seem to have some degree of like cohesion. So,
So really safe. So now I'm going to focus on the actual coaches that should be sacked. Maybe I'm asking you the question. Okay, should Adam Ford be sacked?
Sacked mid-season? Probably not. But they put him on a one-year deal. That looks like a look and see. And if they're looking and seeing, they're not looking and seeing very much. So he might be in a bit of trouble.
His team's not doing much, right?
The season.
His team's not
low
doing
spend it. Team.
Yeah, okay.
Low spend team. They'll be thinking, you know what? We'd rather preserve the relationship. What are they doing with that roster anyway? Are they thinking this is a championship roster and he's dropping the ball? I think they're thinking, you know, roster's not great. Let's just see this out and part ways at the end of the year. I think that's the way things will take the course. So, okay. No, I don't think he'll be sacked.
Okay. Joe Corr, should Petteri Koponen be sacked? His team.
Is that New Zealand's coach?
Yeah, not doing well. Imports not performing.
I wanted to look at their roster and I meant to do a bit of research, but that's overrated. They've lost a lot of games on the road, but that's why I was so eager to watch this one against Southeast Melbourne just recently. That was at home. And I thought, well, they can win their home games. They're going to be a 500 sub or, you know, there's some light at the tunnel, but when they lost to Southeast Melbourne, a team that's not flash, let's not kid around, like Southeast Melbourne are not much chop, and they lost in bad fashion where they choked it up in the fourth, I'm like, there's definitely a blueprint for, I think you've lost the locker room. A lot of the guys are from New Zealand. It might be a nice little tweak to put in. The big rumor is Judd Flavel, their assistant coach, is from New Zealand. So I think, pretty good candidate to be slashed. Do you want me to say yes or no? Do you want me to be definitive?
Yeah, you got to be definitive.
I don't think he makes it to the end of the year.
Okay. I think you're right, and I think the evidence is clear. I've got one piece of evidence that I can give you to support your argument, and that is Ruben Tarangi's minutes per game.
Oh, what are they at?
Oh, I actually don't know. I actually just tried to look it up. And you know what?
Oh, good luck with that. Like, that's the problem, people.
NBL website.
How are we supposed to fucking chart this? How are we supposed to chart this league? The stats everywhere. Today, I had to go to who's playing in round five? And I had to scroll across through the preseason, the blitz, round one, two, three. I was like, what is this Ricky Dink
stuff? I can tell you his super coach value or something, but I can't tell you his minutes played. Thanks, NBL. But I'm telling you, it's too many. There you go. Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty wild. I saw a lot of him. Yeah.
Next question. Yeah. Okay, there's a number of coaches here because there's a lot of coaches under the Canyon flame. All right. So should Brian Gorgian be sacked?
No way. I thought the team looked great against Adelaide. I'm a staunch no. Paying him too much. Bogut's getting an apprenticeship under him. There's no way he goes. No way in hell.
Yeah. Dude saved his career with that Adelaide game.
I just think I think he's a good coach, and I just think they brought in Delhi and they brought in Bogut to worry about kind of maintaining the BS, the young guys, and Gorge is just allowed to strategize. I actually think it's working really well.
Okay, a little time, so Gorge, safe for another season.
Safe.
All right. Okay, now this is a gimme, mate. Should Stu Lash be sacked?
I'm surprised he was hired in the first place. End of story. This guy's chopped liver. The question then is not if, it's when. Do you think he survives 8 games into the season? I think they've already played 4.
Oh, mate, you got it. He's gone by the end of October. End of October, however many games that is, that's it.
They just got beaten by 30 points in the NBL in a 10-minute quarter. Yeah,
it's embarrassing.
It was so bad. And just the injuries and everything. And also the other thing, they've got two really capable assistants. Like, talk about guys who are ready. So, he doesn't survive. He's not there by the 8-game mark. No way.
I didn't watch much of that Illawarra-Brisbane game. I tuned into I think it was just a few minutes here and there. And then I remember watching the end because I got excited because I was like, oh, Johnny Narkle might get some court time. Now, he's from WA, Geraldton player. And I've been calling the NBL One this past few years. So I've seen him play a bit in the NBL One. So I was like, it'd be good to see him get some run. And he comes out and he banks a three from the top and then he steals the ball in midcourt, runs away for a fast break, two-handed jam, first 5 points in the NBL. Stu Lash, thank you very much. There you go.
They need something. I mean, I know I'm digressing from the topic, but is there any road forward for Brisbane to be? I don't think they can be a winning team, but can they be something worth going and watching? And I think if they played guys with spirit, like Dukas has spirit, Jalen Adams just doesn't have the spirit. You either light a flame under him or you cut him loose. It's a disaster.
Like
Brisbane's got spirit.
Yeah. Brisbane for so many years were a pretty boring team. Like if you ask me anything about them, like what's their personality as a team, I'd say they're boring. Last year they did a bit to break away from that. I thought they were interesting. They had the couple of imports, the import scoring guards, the guy who got 50. You know,
Bateman.
I feel like they're back to being a pretty boring team. Although I do kind of like watching them for the train wreck aspect of it.
Watching the bench,
watching them sort of who's coaching, who's calling timeouts, watching Jalen Adams just like do whatever the hell he wants.
Which is little, but yeah. the only thing that might save Lash is he's good friends with the front office. They go like, oh, it's a bad year. Sorry, mate. Take the whole year and whatever. We tanked it anyway. I don't know if that gets you through. I think the team's just so bad. And it's so easy to cut a coach.
Okay.
But yeah, what else?
So we are now on my scoreboard. We've got two coaches being sacked and we've got two coaches being saved. Mm-hmm. I've got one, not including John Riley. I've got one more on my sack the coaches game. Here we are. Should Mike Wells be sacked?
Oh, this is a good one. This is a good one. Because if I had to use one word to describe Sydney and one word to describe Adelaide in that game,
yep.
Sydney was surgical and Adelaide were reactionary. And if I could add an adverb, like intensely reactionary. No, and not even reactionary in a good way, just so back-footed where Cotton got a certain defense played on him and there was just no intellectual counter to what was going on at all. It was just like, oh, talk about open palm. Like, I don't know, like run faster. Like, oh, there was no.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. Can I get your answer before mine? Do you think he's going to last? Yeah.
I think he should be sacked. I don't think he's a very good coach. And I don't think he's going to get the most out of this squad. I do not think he will be sacked. I think he's got the ears of the ownership. I think they like having the American in charge. They like hearing the accent. I think he speaks relatively well in press conferences. I think he's safe, but he should be sacked.
And what makes you say he's a bad coach?
Well, watching that last game, like you sort of said it, like was there any proactivity in what he did? No. His substitution patterns are crazy. Like I don't understand what he's doing. He's, you know, like Matt Kenyon, really? Is that your answer to the problem? Like, just you've got Isaac Humphries, who's having a great season, and they're just not playing him enough.
Yeah,
they don't play through.
The two bigs are good, actually. They're guy off the bench, Rakicevic. Yeah,
it just seems like an under. They've been bailed out by Bryce Cotton.
He's capable brilliant. Too. Like, they got two really good bigs. Cairns would kill for either one of them. Kill.
You there, Joe?
I don't know. Is he under contract for next year? I should have looked that up. Because if they can cull him and not – I mean, Adelaide's bad for making big moves that cost them money.
I think
there was a time they were paying three coaches, you know, Joey, Connor Henry and Ninnis and someone else, a fourth one.
Gone.
The only reason I say – uh-oh. We've lost the internet. Kenyon, are you back? Oh, Kenyon, you're back?
Oh, you're there, back. You're back.
Kenyon, I can hear you. Yeah, we just dropped. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, just totally.
I will say the only thing that hopefully, well, I might not even cut it. Like, people need to know this is the reality of the thing. But with Wells, the thing I would say is Adelaide have shown a propensity to cut people, cut coaches, sack them and bring in more. So I lean more to – it's more possible than not, but gee, probably still falls in the category of unlikely, I'd say. Yeah.
Okay.
That's the last one. Okay, so and the rest are all safe. The rest are all doing a good job.
Yep. Yep. So should he be? Yes. He will he be? No.
I don't think he will be. No.
Cool. And that is the end of Sack the Coaches for this week.
We fall to a tally of 3-2 where most people are staying. That's good. Have you got a follow on topic to that? I feel like there's more cutting and saving to be done, or not really with the imports.
With the imports, I wanted to say just a little farewell. We kind of mentioned them. Brisbane said goodbye to Freeman Liberty, which I think is sad for them because it seemed like he could score the ball and that's precisely what they need, but wasn't to be.
He was good.
So I didn't really feel like I ever got to know the guy, you know, so by.
The other guy
was and then I wanted to say Ja'Cory McLaughlin. He also left the Hawks, and I don't think that's a big loss. The thing that I found most interesting in his being cut was, wasn't there strong talk about the Wildcats wanting to sign him in the preseason? And then they went with Mason Jones. And I'm just thinking, would, if they had their time over, would they have swapped?
No, Jones is better than him.
Do you think they're regretting their decision at all? Or are they comfortable? Would they look at McLaughlin now and go, oh, Jones isn't performing, maybe we go back to our original guy?
No way. I don't know what to say. I actually quite like Jones, but I don't want to say too much because I actually want to ask you, Jones, where do you sit? Are you defiantly let's cut him? Are you defiantly let's keep him? Are you down the middle? What do you think if you're a Cats fan?
Look, he's pretty ordinary. He's not delivering what would be expected to win a championship. I don't see it getting better. He just seems too slow. Like he doesn't have any moves that can get past an NBL level defense.
I agree with some of this. First of all, the idea that the NBL defense, that first game he played, he was shocked to see the extended pressure to the degree that was applied. He was used to in the G League, presumably, and I don't watch that shit. I don't know who could. He was not used to that. Oh, there's actual pressure here, and passing lanes are defended in the NBL. That threw him defensive. Yeah. But he can adjust to that. The idea of being too slow, I'm like, yes, with a but. Yes, he looks slow, but I do believe that what's his role on this team? Is he the point guard? Is he a scorer? I feel like in that chasm of not knowing whether he's distributing or scoring, that's really messing with his game because I don't think it's been his game in the past. And as a result, that indecision is what's making him look slower on the floor. So I would contend against that, but I can't contend that the numbers have not been good.
Mm.
You know, and pro players should just see the core and, okay, this is the situation I'm in. I'm just going to win basketball games. That's what imports at this level. That's what makes Cotton went to Adelaide, and it was if nothing changed, whether it was Perth, Adelaide, doesn't matter what plateau, that guy's going to score. Yep. So I actually don't – I'm not as down on Jones as other people. I'm giving him to the quarter mark of the season to make an assessment.
The only thing I'm wondering about Jones is his form being negatively impacted by Ben Henschel's form being so terrible.
Henschel's been bad, eh?
Because I think Henschel – thinking was Henschel would come in and play a bit of point and like maybe be that alternative threat on the other side of the court so Jones would get open looks, and they just can't play Henschel. Like, he's just virtually unplayable. He shoots threes and he's missing rim. Like, it's ugly.
I just think he went to the NBA and probably got a huge confidence boost there, or took a huge hit when it didn't quite pan out. I don't know, you know, where his head was at. But I just can't deny that the numbers have been bad and the look has been bad. But I do come back to, we both spoke about Rilly. None of us here think that Rilly is setting a great table, right, for these players. And also the delay to the start of the year and blah, blah, blah. The table's not set. They're having to set the table. Let's see what happens when the tablecloth is on and the cutlery is down and whether these guys can play. Because I haven't liked John Rilly's coaching the last couple of years. I mean, their teams are erratic. They're not by a great design. And for that reason, I'm a little bit more sympathetic to both of them, Jones especially.
We have the perfect litmus test tomorrow.
Brisbane.
If Mason Jones can't get off against a Brisbane Bullets team that doesn't have McDaniel and Mitch Norton on the defensive end, you got to let him go.
We're 20-point game minimum and see the ball go down. The other thing that is a huge flag is this guy pisses and moans a lot. He moans a lot.
Mm.
And he's got that slow game where he kind of pounds into guys and he's expecting a lot of calls. And it's like, not really how the whistle's called in the NBL. So there are red flags, but I'm just not embracing them just yet. But as I say, the quarter mark of the season is like 8 games. They've already played 4 or 5. So,
you know, halfway there. Even more this season because of all the Ignite Cup games.
Yeah, it's 33 games in total. It's like
33,
so, yeah. Yeah, so if you did, I think it's 8 and a bit is the quarter mark. Mm. So that's when you start making the decisions. But they're not going to get rid of him. That has not been Danny Mills' MO as a GM. They're not going to get rid of him. They'll just see it out and do a mediocre year and, you know, end of story. This is how they do it. Have you got anything else on that topic?
No, that's it.
I do have something. I've got my notes on my phone and then we're going to get out of here. Adam Westerhout on, had a question for Joey and Boddy on what I think is the best NBL show.
Yes.
I hate to give Boddy and Joey a bit of a rap on the nose, but I don't think they understood that question in the spirit it was asked. And so I'm going to take a swipe at it myself. And I want your thoughts as well. So what?
The question
for people who didn't listen was, what side of the NBA production should the NBL bring in? And I read the question to mean, you know, what, the music, the stadium, the TV look.
The entertainment package.
What does the NBA do that the NBL isn't already plagiarizing desperately? So I pose that question.
Temu style.
On a beer budget. Champagne tastes on a beer budget. What is your answer to that question, Kenyon?
No, thank you for answering it. You answer it first.
Well, I'll answer it first. My thing is, and this is, and I am not a music aficionado, and I don't care what music gets played at games. However, I can tell when you're playing James Brown, whose music was very popular a long time ago, and who now is actually quite long dead. I'm like, maybe, just maybe, you need to tap on the NBA on the shoulder and say, hey, what are you guys playing stadium that's new, fresh, different, but still in the same vein? That would be the number one thing, because watching those games against the NBA, I was so proud that we played 10 minutes. That's a much better product than 12. So that thinking is out of my mind. So we do that better than them. But the music, like I've just heard the same songs at NBL matches, I kid you not, for about 25 years. So for me, I'm like, the music, and I'm sure there's other production values that come with that, but the music is my answer. What's yours?
Okay, so mine's actually, I've got sort of two now, because you've sort of stolen my first one, because mine would also be the music, in that I like the way the NBA doesn't play a lot of music.
Yes, less music.
During gameplay. One thing I did notice, it seems like I haven't been to a Perth game this season, but I noticed on TV, like, they've been notorious for just blasting music constantly. And it seemed, looking at the TV, that maybe there was a little less music being played gameplay this season. So good job. I hate all that music during gameplay. So NBA do that well. I think we should do it too.
Agreed.
But just to take it off music, although it's still kind of somewhat related, is that I like the play it cool attitude the NBA has a little bit, where they don't have like MCs shouting and screaming and carrying on the whole time, screaming
during play. Because quarter times and at the entertainment.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
At the opportunities for entertainment, they turn up the screws. But you're right. During play, it's very much on court.
Yeah, I think Sydney Kings do the best, from what I can tell, remotely. Sydney Kings have the closest vibe to what 100%. I think an NBA
it's
game.
It's polished. I've been there in person.
And just the whole presentation should be.
Yeah, I've been there in person. It's a good product, Sydney Kings. I take my hat off to their game day prep and their courtside announcer who does the feature, I want to say.
He's got an excellent voice.
Terrific.
It's resonant. It's just professional.
Understands
it's a
the
good
game.
Vibe.
You know, like knows when to say something and when not. Yeah, they run a tight ship. Must agree.
Yep.
Yeah. Good answer.
So I think that's kind of where the NBA – we could learn a bit from the NBA. It's a really good question. And I tell you what, I want Boddy and Joey to have another crack at that.
I do.
I agree. I think they misinterpreted that in terms of rules,
organizational structures. This is game day performance. I thought it was
game night. Yep.
So what you're saying is that Boddy and Joey are shit and they can go by themselves. No, we love Joey.
Well, look,
that's a great show.
I love it. It's good.
It is a very good show.
Joey has grown on me so much. Like, when he was coaching, he pissed me off endlessly because he seemed like such a smart ass.
Yeah, fair.
But now I'm getting to know him and I'm like, he seems like a good dude.
Oh, the story about the guy had to come out of the game because he takes a shit. I mean, that's just funny. You don't get that much. Last question, then we're out of here. And it's more forward casting for the season, because I don't know if we'll do a pod in the next week or two. Like, I just feel like this season is... the car is on the road. We're driving down the road. What's there to really say at this point? You know, maybe something comes up, but there's
get ignited.
Yeah. Okay. Melbourne are the team to beat. Agreed.
Absolutely.
Rank these contenders 1 through 3, because I feel like it's either Tasmania, Adelaide, or Sydney. Who's the best contender? And rank them from number one contender down to 3.
Okay, I think you just did it. I think it is Tasmania, Adelaide, Sydney.
You've got Adelaide as a bigger contender over Sydney?
Except, I don't know. I'm not that high on Sydney. I don't think
even
they're that
after
good.
The game we saw, I'm high on Sydney. I think they're gonna, I'd have Sydney above Adelaide just to answer the only question. But
would you really? I actually wouldn't. I think. Well, maybe I would actually. Maybe I would. Let me make the case for Adelaide
because I'll make the case for Sydney. You make the case for Adelaide. Right. Why would you say Adelaide? Your knee jerk was Adelaide. Why did you jerk? Your Adelaide knee?
They're still integrating a new import, that Rakicevic guy. Fair. Still finding where he can help. They had an all time bad game by Bryce Cotton, which just won't happen that often. Mm-hmm. They will learn that when Bryce Cotton is down, you need to find Plan B, which is Humphries probably, and also DJ Vasiljevic.
That DJ question is big.
I think they've got the ultimate trump card. If they're really feeling the pinch, they can bring in another import.
Yeah, they do have a second import slot available, do they? Because
they've got Cheatham, Rakicevic.
And formerly and Cotton. That's it. And now they can bring in someone. Yeah, I forgot about the import thing. Wow. Yeah, that changes things a lot. And the NBA is about to make its cuts and all that, so now's the time for all that.
Yep.
You could pick up an Ian Clark type player who was awesome. He was terrific. Oh, yeah. He helped them a lot. If they brought in a bit more of a pure pit point guard, I think, who could score a little bit, that'd be devilish. Here's why I make the case for Sydney. And it comes down to Xavier Cooks. A lot of people think Xavier Cooks is overrated. Where do you sit on him?
I think he's great, except when he's at the free throw line. I like his bounce. I like his energy. I like the way you can have him bring the ball up the court and he can create. Like, he's a really dynamic guy like that. Mm. But you can just foul him.
Yeah, I worry about how they're going to manage him in the last 5 minutes. That's a question mark for this team. But I think the bigger question mark is Dellavedova. He has looked ancient, slow, and just the shot has gotten worse. Unbelievably has gotten worse. I mean, it's early days, but I don't worry about him so much. But I'm just surprised his coaches don't go like, that guy there, don't guard him outside the keyway and just point and laugh when he shoots it. Just make him shoot it 30, 50 times a game and just say, you're going to score 50 and we'll lose, great. And just make him do that.
Yeah.
I just see if coaches were more cruel, they'd do that. But I actually think that I like Davis. I think he's really good. I just think he can score, get to the hoop, get harmed, get to the foul line. I think he's a star.
Yeah, he's a great player. There is no doubt about that.
And I come back to Cooks, and this is the reason why I make the contention for Sydney. Some people call him overrated, and I see the campaign for that. But his ability to defensively get picked or be defending a screener and then switch onto Cotton and hedge a little bit or double or even one-on-one face him up for a bit is no other big in the league can do that as well. Maybe John Brown III, but he does it the best, and we saw it there. And it's like, if you're going to win in the NBA, you got to beat Bryce Cotton. And Xavier Cooks, more so than any other player, helps you do that. So for me, I'm like, I liked Sydney before the start of the year. I like him now. And Bull Quoll finally gave us something. And if he can continue he should be better than that. He's been terrible for a year and a half. He's a bit better. So I would have them, But I love Tasmania. I think their imports are fucking awesome, and I love Roth as a coach. But just under that is Sydney, and then Adelaide for me, a semi-final finisher. But
well, I think
the Wells tomorrow, and DJ questions are too big for me. I don't see DJ working with Cotton full stop, and Wells is the guy to figure it out.
That's always been a problem. That's been a concern from the beginning.
Oh, yeah,
sure. Tomorrow will be an interesting game then. Tasmania Jack Jumpers up against the Sydney Kings.
Is that what's up? That's not bad.
In our overly animated Ignite Cup game, I really hope they've turned off those scoreboard animations.
They were pretty intense, huh? Wow.
There's a lot going on there.
But, I mean, it's for the kids, right? So I don't.
Is
that your game of the round, by the way, next round, just to bring people up and then we'll get out of here?
Tassie, Sydney. Look, it's got to be right up there. That's a
Wednesday night game. Get in. That's great.
Yeah, it really is. The only other one you might say would be interesting is the last game of the round, which is Sydney hosting Perth. So depends on your feelings about Perth. They're not that good. I'm not that excited. So I reckon tomorrow's game is better.
On the road, I think they'll
be. Tassie and Kings.
Yeah, and I think on the road the Wildcats will get whipped in Sydney. Yeah, I think Jackie's Kings, that'd be good. And on a Wednesday, isn't Wednesday night basketball fun? Where you're like, what else are you going to do on a Wednesday? Like Friday, Saturday, nothing you're like, else. I got shit to do. But Wednesday, why not? I'll turn it over to the NBL.
Do you know what cracks me up though? We will wrap this up, but I'm so freaking old. I remember when NBL on Fox was a thing and it was like, big Wednesday. They used to do this big marketing thing. It was Big Wednesday, NBL. And they tried to own the Wednesday once before. Now they're doing it all again.
With the Ignite Cup, adding on games. Health of the league. Let's get out of here. Last question for you. Like this season, like the I don't know. The buzz doesn't seem as big.
Nah, I agree.
I don't know why. I can't put my finger on it. It just hasn't been like for all this cotton changing.
I feel like they're overcooking it. Like it's just too much shit. It's like you've got Ignite Cups, you've got different rounds every game. Like it never has a chance to fall into a pattern, like a rhythm. There's always some gimmick.
Yeah, I don't know. I just look at the poor performance of the app just speaks to what the NBL does all the time, which is tries to fix what isn't broken. And every year there's just a turning over of the soil. There's too much turnover, not just on the court, but off the court as well, where it never feels like it's building on anything. And, you know, like now that it's moved from – it's on Disney Plus, and that's actually a net positive. But, you know, it's not just like, all right, Foxtel, bang. Like, there's no established conversation between the league and fan. And I know that sounds a bit kind of airy-fairy, but – it's not like AFL on 7, you know. It just makes sense that the tone is the same. It's a bit different, but also I think the product's too American looking, which is not bad, but I just think it's just fallen too much into that category. It needs to reestablish itself and be a league of like we play tough D, but we also score a lot. And it just it's parroting too much of the voice for me, and it's losing traction in the NBA, which, by the way, is also losing traction, you know, as goes the NBA, as goes the NBL. And the NBA has just felt so lethargic this offseason. And I think there's a follow-on from that. Canyon, you ready to get out of here?
Yeah, let's get out of here. We're done. People are sick of us.